Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 15. Romans 15. The Apostle Paul is now continuing. We finished chapter 14 last time, and he's going to pick up where he left off in our teaching. And this teaching is concerning the relationship that believers have one to another. Now this is, he's talking to believers now. That's something that we've got to understand, to get the truth of what's being told. This is believers dealing with believers. He says in verse 1, Romans 15, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Now, obviously, based on that verse that we just read, there is a difference in the maturity of believers. Not in the security of believers. Not any difference in their security, but in the maturity of them. We then that are strong. Now, the strong. That's it's amazing when you start looking at these words, and because immediately when you first read them, if you're not careful, you're going to jump to some conclusions. Strong. Well, I know this, it refers to those, obviously, that are strong in the grace of faith. Weak, obviously, then must be those that are weak or immature in the grace of faith. I believe there is a direct correlation between what Paul is talking about right here and what we looked at weeks ago in the parable of the sower, when the Lord said there was a sower, went forth to sow, and the seed fell on four different kinds of ground, the wayside. Sometimes some hear the gospel and it doesn't more make a bit of difference to them than the man in the moon. Some hear and it's just nothing. I mean, I'm telling you now, you listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you that some people hear and this doesn't more make any difference to them than the man in the moon. They're just going through the motions, all they're doing. And then some hear, and it falls, the Scripture says, on stony ground. It falls on ground that somehow there's a sense in which some hear, and it springs up quickly, and it appears as though, that I mean just right off the bat, I mean, man, they just, took it, I mean, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, just like fishing, and if, man, there's been times I've been fishing, and I'm telling you, Jeff, I was watching that cork, and all of a sudden, bam, it was gone. And I thought, man, I got some. And they appeared as though that they took it. And then what happens is, the Scripture says, the son of persecution, because of the gospel. The sun comes out and it bears down, and because there was no root there, they said, "Now that's not for me, not that. I mean, I don't mind going to church and all that kind of stuff, but if I'm going to have to put up with this over this message right here, forget it." Well, it withered. because there was no root. Then some of it fell on thorny ground, and this is the ground that really causes me to take a deep breath, because it's ground that appears cleaned, it looks like, but the root system of the thorns is there, and what happens is it falls on there, and it appears as though that the seed took root, and after a while, after years, and I said sometimes it's years and years, 5, 10, 50 years, and before you know it, the thorns in the care of this world is the way the Lord said it. Things of this world become obviously more important. They've always been important, but obviously it's the things of this world that choke out the Word. The things of this world. What is more important than the hearing of the gospel of God's grace? What's more important? Well, if God hasn't given a man a heart for the gospel, wait and see. And you'll see what is. Because whatever we end up doing, that's what we believe. Not what we say. He said, with their lips they do honor me, but their heart. So if you want to know what a man truly believes, what he wants, what he loves, see what he does. That's what he loves. You know? It's, oh, no, wait. No. What a man does, what you do, that's what you love. But then there were some that fell on good ground. And the Scripture says it brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It was good fruit. It brought forth, it's the good fruit of the Spirit of God. It's not your fruit, Neil. It's not my fruit. It's the fruit of God's Spirit. Love. Peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. 30, 60, 100-fold. There was a difference not in the quality of the fruit, but the quantity of the fruit. Those at Berea, they were more noble, more well-bred. The Scripture says, than those at Thessalonica. And they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things that Paul was preaching were so. They were more noble, more not because of what they did, but was because of what God was pleased to teach them. Strong. But now, I'm going to tell you something. When it comes down to the strength, we then that are strong, strong in the grace of faith, and I know how we think. We think, I want to be a warrior. Strong. Well, let me tell you something. That the attitude, the way that we describe our strength, lends itself only to pride. Let me just be real, blunt with you. I want to be on fire for God. I want to just, That attitude that I see right there, I'm going to take a long look at you. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to watch and I'm going to see what, not because I'm trying to judge you, but because I find great cause to doubt whenever you find someone and they're, because what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to elevate yourself. That's what you're doing. I want to be strong for the Lord. A believer within the depths of his heart thinks that. He desires that. But let me tell you something of what the Apostle Paul says concerning the cost of it. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Boy, I'm telling you, those few words that he just gave right there, if we could behold visibly, if we watched it, what it actually cost, what he actually went through, the beatings and the being in the deep, and, persecutions, what it cost. He says, I take pleasure in them, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Let me tell you something. A person that thinks themselves or sees themselves is strong in the faith. They're weak. They're the weak ones. Paul reveals the true spiritual strength that is realized in a believer. What it is. What is it? Not what it is. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's the realization of his weakness. There's his strength. Whenever you are most oppressed with yourself, Lord, help me. I can't do this. Lord, if you let me sink, Peter said, I'm gone. I cannot. God, help me. There's strength. You see, the human mind sees itself as being able, I understand, I perceive, I'm this, I've worked, I. That's weakness. Absolute weakness. I think about something that Todd Nybert, I've told you this before, but it made such an impression on me. Todd gone through some real physical trials. He's had cancer, and he just a couple of times, just real, real tough physical infirmities. He told me one time, he said, Marvin, I'm telling you, he said, I look back now. He said, during the time that I was going through those physical trials, and he said, I'm telling you, I don't think I was ever more sensitive to the sufficiency of God's grace as when I was right there. And he said, after I get to feeling a little better, he said, I think back on it, and I realize how frail I really am. But he said it was then that I realized it. That's when a man is made strong. When he's weak, when he's infirmed, when he cannot, that's when the strength of God's sustaining grace is most evident to him. So whenever we start reading this verse, we that are strong, be careful. Because I'm telling you, that those that see themselves as strong and think themselves as strong and think themselves as knowledgeable, I know, I'm aware, I can help you. You need some help, you come to me. I tell you, a strong one, it's one that'll point you to Christ and away from himself. Paul speaks of God's strength, the gift of God's faith to believe God, and the persuasion that they've been delivered from the bondage of sin and self, the law, obligation to it. And those that are weak, those of us that are learning, hopefully God will teach us something. Paul says we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It's such an opposite thing. It's those that are strong, those that know their weakness, ought to bear those that think that they're really strong, because they are the weak ones. They ought to bear the infirmities, the prejudices, the error, their faults. And these things that arise from our knowledge or lack of knowledge of God's sustaining grace. We then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The mature or the maturing, the one being taught, the strong believer, as Paul refers to it, Don't make it your business to gratify your own appetite and desire over someone else. Those that are made strong in the Lord, and Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. What you learned, what you've been taught is by the grace of God. And we then, Paul says, that have been taught something. Wait on the Lord. Bear that. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'm telling you, the hardest thing, well, it's impossible for the flesh, but I'm telling you, that which fights against our flesh is for us to bow to God's sovereignty. This flesh in me, there is in my flesh. Talking to someone the other day in regeneration. Let me tell you something. In regeneration, nothing ever changes as far as this flesh is concerned. That which is flesh is flesh. Nothing gets better with the flesh. Nothing changes with the flesh. The same attitude and will and heart of rebellion, dead rebellion, that we were all born with, we all still have. You still got that same heart of unbelief. It's still there. What it is in regeneration, there's a new heart. I'll give them a new heart. New spirit, new will, new mind. And these two now fight each other. And that old man, that old flesh, let me tell you something. He wants to exalt himself. And the new man says, as John said, I must decrease. He must increase. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We ought to please his neighbor. Be agreeable. Accommodate. Why? For his good. For his edification. Now, when it says that every one of us please his neighbor, obviously in the matters of the gospel of God's grace, there's no part of the gospel that is forsaken for the sake of peace. But remember this, we're dealing with believers. Believers with believers. An unbeliever is not going to be convinced. It's not that we're trying to compromise on the gospel of grace. We don't. But between each other, 1 Corinthians 9:16, though I preach the gospel, Paul says, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Let me tell you what is absolutely a joy to me. I'm thankful. I realize. I just preached this message just a few minutes ago. John said, I saw. I'm thankful. That I truly believe. I'm thankful that I believe that God's given me a heart to preach Christ. But I'm thankful that God has given me a heart to preach Christ. I'm thankful. I don't want to talk about anything else. I had somebody tell me years ago, they came for about 6 months, and this is what they told me. He said, you say basically the same thing every time. I told him, I said, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what's amazing? Is that there are some people that's sitting here that hear from a different passage, because I know I'm not preaching the same verses because I'm going verse by verse by verse. But you know what? The message never changes. It's always concerning Him. And here's a group of people that come and they listen to basically the same message concerning the same Lord Jesus Christ, and they look at you like, that's got to be the best thing I've ever heard in my life. And that was the attitude you had last time. And you see it, and you see him again, you see him afresh, and it's like you react like that's the first time that I've ever truly heard what you said. That's a miracle of God's grace. Woe if I don't preach the gospel. But Paul says, let every one of us please his neighbor. What? On these matters that we talked about of indifference, don't make an issue if it's not the gospel. If it's not the gospel of God's grace, if it's not the gospel of God's grace in salvation and in creation and in providence, if it has nothing to do, please your neighbor. Be agreeable with him. Why? For his good, for his benefit, for his edification, for his building up. God will teach him. The Lord will reveal himself. Listen, study and strive after pleasing the brethren. Not in tolerance of his rebellion or wickedness, or don't try to humor him in his sinful ways, but please him when it comes to these things that don't matter. Just do it for his good. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. It's always the right thing to view our blessed Lord when it comes to beholding an example. I mean, if we're going to behold an example, who else are you going to pick? Paul says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification, for even Christ. Paul points us to the very one to whom we must look. Even the Lord Jesus Christ pleased not himself. You think of the long suffering of our Lord. There's times that I'll just be honest with you here. Here again, Brother Scott hears me say this so often, and I say I'm not going to say it to embarrass him, but I've got so much respect for him that there's times that I want to be careful not to say anything in front of him that's stupid. I just don't want to say anything to embarrass myself. You know, have you ever felt that way? I want to ask a question, but I hope it doesn't reveal too much of my ignorance. What about when the apostles were with our Lord? Have you ever considered, here is the Lord of glory, and he chose some apostles, and he taught them. And how many times do we find concerning his long-suffering to them? I think of Peter is what comes to my mind right now. Lord, man, I'll never forsake you. I would never do that. And here's the long suffering. He who pleased not himself. He said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. Peter said, ain't going to happen. And I mean to tell you, buddy, it was no time. Consider him who pleased not himself. He pleased not himself. Not that the Lord's pleasure differed from the Father's pleasure, because they were one and the same, but before he ever tabernacled in the form of sinful flesh, a body was made him, prepared him. He was made in the form of sinful flesh. His body aged just like our body. In his body, he thirsted just like all of the effects of sin was on his body. He was made in the image, in the form I used to think about that. How could he age? Aging is because of sin, and he aged. He didn't. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He thirsted, just like he hungered, he hurt. I said before, when they nailed him to the cross, he felt that. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin. Amazing. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But long before he ever tabernacled among us, long before he was ever made flesh, he spoke concerning this very verse, but even Christ pleased not himself, didn't have himself as a man, as our representative, our Redeemer. He pleased not himself. This is what Psalm 40, verse 8 says. This is concerning the words of our Lord. In the Old Testament, before he ever came into this world, actually in time, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He said that under the inspiration of the Spirit of God through David. Not pleased himself. As a man, he was given to the will of his Father. He set his face as a flint to the cross, had his Father's glory and his people's good in view. John 17:4, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What? I glorified thee on the earth. You know the word glory, glorified, means the opinion, to think. I've glorified thee. What he said is, Father, all that you've ever thought, all that you've ever purposed, all that you've ever considered, all that you've ever determined, I have actually glorified you. Your opinion has been made manifest on this earth, and I finished the work that you gave me to do. I glorified you. Nothing of his own ease was considered in the pursuit of the Father's work. Every inconvenience in this life that he had to endure, he did. I must go through Samaria. Why? One of his sheep was there. He didn't skirt any issues. He pleased not himself. Isaiah 53:3 says, he's despised and rejected of men. This is God in human flesh. Subjected himself to whatever it took. He pleased not himself, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And for that, we hid our face, as it were. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He pleased not himself. What was it going to take for him to redeem me, for him to please not himself? That's what he said. The apostle then is moved by the Spirit of God to illustrate this truth by Scripture. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, Paul's going to give an illustration based on the Word of God. The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. That is to say, the attitudes, the verbals, here, the Lord is speaking of the Father long before time of his arrival actually took place. The reproaches, the slanderous speech, that's what it means, the reproaches. The slanderous speech before you. And the guilt of that slanderous speech, the reproaches of them that reproached you, all that they said against you, all that they said outwardly or inwardly, for all of his sheep fell on me. He pleased not himself. He made my inward attitude, my hatred, my wrathful attitude against him, he made it his own. He made that to be his. I've heard men say, well, they weren't actually his. He paid the debt of them, but they weren't really his. I told you, I gave you that illustration, my mother and her committing murder, and if I was going to help her out, I had to actually be a substitute. I had to be made her. That's the only way that's truly a substitute. If there's any other way, it's not really a substitute. He was actually made. The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Listen to this, if this is not his. Psalm 40:12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me, forsakes me. My iniquities. Let me tell you the greatest thought that I can think of right now concerning my security in the Lord Jesus Christ. That what I am is being made in Adam, having fallen in Adam. That he took every bit of that. He took it away from me. Because let me tell you something, I couldn't deal with it and have any security. I would get what I deserved. You see, my attitude as far as being born in Adam, remember, I had sinned against an eternal God. Therefore, my sin against an eternal God for justice, Gary, to be done, I would have to suffer an eternal punishment for it to be paid. And therefore, it'd never be paid. Christ took my eternal guilt against him. And with one sacrifice, forever purged my sin. How can one sacrifice satisfy an eternal debt? Thanks be to God, he said it did. And that settles it. All mankind reproached God. But God had a people out of that. And he came into this world, and the scripture says he pleased not himself. The reproaches of them that reproached thee, for all that he loved everlastingly, all that he would die for everlastingly, they fell on him. And in not pleasing himself, in one sacrifice, he redeemed every one of them. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Paul says, he didn't please himself. The reproaches of them that reproached his father and reproached him too. They called him a wine bibber, you know. They called him, had devils. And all the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Now, if he didn't please himself, Paul says, we then that are strong, that is, those that have been made to realize what they really are, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. May God Almighty be pleased to give us some understanding into these blessed truths before Him, and may it be to His glory and for our good. Okay, Gary, you come.